So our definition of a coup d'etat has five elements. There must be some person or persons who initiated the coup. The target of the coup must have meaningful control over national policy. There must be a credible threat to the leader's hold on power. Irregular or illegal means must be used to seize or remove or render powerless the target of the coup, and it must be an organized effort. And on the day after the January 6th assault on the US Capitol building, it was clear at that time that the first three of those criteria had been met by the event already. What was uncertain was whether the fourth, what was the ultimate goal of the people that stormed the Capitol, and the fifth, was it planned or was it spontaneous? Those were uncertain. And in the weeks that followed January 6th, we had a team of researchers that had been working to look through available public information, that's news reporting, that's court filings, that's statements and video that have been posted by people who were participating in that event, to try to draw a conclusion one way or another of whether that event fit all five of our elements or not. And if it didn't, it would not be a coup attempt.
From a research perspective, then, why does it matter that we're precise on how we label an event like this?
The Klein Center for Advanced Social Research is very careful in its efforts to categorize a wide range of protest, political violence, and state repression events all around the world. And we take that care because the data that we make and we distribute for free for anybody who wants to use it is very important data for helping risk managers do predictive analytics for understanding risks of political instability of one sort or another. So our coup d'etat data is used by researchers both in the public sector and the private sector to do predictive analytics of which countries are at potential risk for having a major coup event. So the categorization of the type of event matters because the outcome of what follows from certain kinds of event matter a great deal. And coups d'etat are among the most politically consequential and important of the kinds of events that the Klein Center tracks around the world.
And Scott, I'm curious, what's the difference between what we saw at the Capitol earlier this month and some of the violence that we saw last year at times that came out of some of the protests in places like Seattle and Portland? The autonomous zone in Seattle comes to mind. How is it what we saw at the Capitol earlier this month different?
So the events that we have seen in the news that happened in Portland and Seattle are very complex, but some elements of those are what we categorize as politically motivated attacks. What's different with coups d'etat and attempts and conspiracies to commit coups is that these involve the national government, and these involve an effort to overthrow legitimate authority over the entire nation. So these are very extreme kinds of political events. They're unusual. And that makes them very different from the kinds of protests, the kinds of violence that we've seen around the country recently. It's interesting, though, that for our coup d'etat data set, this is not the first entry that appears for the United States. This is the second entry. And many people don't know it, but back in 1948, a number of members of the Communist Party of the United States were arrested and charged in federal court with plotting to violently overthrow the federal government. It was one of the longest trials in US history, ended up with a verdict of guilty against all the defendants. And that appears in our data set as a coup conspiracy from 1948. So this event is the second one that has registered for our coup d'etat data set for the United States. But in general, it's very unusual for a country that's got a politically stable culture and part of the sort of advanced economies of the world to show up within this database.